chosen by God for his people in the Bible was called theocracy, ruled by God. God is king. God's laws are the laws of the state in a theocracy. Yet even that theocratic government tends to corruption. Such is the sinful nature of men and women. We need to learn not to trust in men. Men are all failures. Big government, we learn from the book of Proverbs, which I will come to maybe in a future message. The bigger your government, the more sinful your nation. See, it says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 2, "For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged." But you see that little bit? For the transgressions or the sins of a nation, many are the rulers thereof. So the more big and complex your government, the more sinful your nation is. So big government equals sinful nation. We also need to learn that good rulers or good government are those that admit that God is sovereign. They are just in their judgment as God is. They love righteous lips, or when the righteous speak, they love that. That's a good ruler or a good government. And the proverb says, a good government will scatter and crush the wicked. And a good ruler will speak truth. But as I began last time, how do we recognize a bad government? Apart from, obviously, looking at the Houses of Parliament. But apart from that, how do you recognize, by principle, a bad government? Well, a bad government, as I mentioned the last time, regards not God. That's the first symptom. A bad government, secondly, brings out unjust legislation, laws that are against God's law. A bad government, thirdly, loves wicked men. A bad government or ruler, fourthly, gathers the wicked around them. They accompany with the wicked. Corruption gathers corrupt. And a bad government are dishonest. They are liars. Now, I want to finish that sermon that I began last Sunday night here with the three other points that I mentioned. According to the book of Proverbs, mainly, a bad government or a bad ruler, there's three more points, or points 6, 7, and 8, but let's call them 1, 2, 3. Firstly, a bad government, firstly, forsakes the law of God. Seventhly, oppresses the people over which they rule. And thirdly, they listen to lies. So firstly, a bad government or a bad ruler, according to the Bible, forsakes the law of God. That's one of their main symptoms. Now we see that in Proverbs chapter 28 and verses 4 and 9. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Now, the law being referred to in this verse is the Hebrew word Torah. That's the only real law, God's law, the Torah. They that forsake God's law, the Torah, praise the wicked. The wicked are those that forsake. They go away from, they forget about, the Hebrew word means God's law. Charles Bridges, in his book on Proverbs, his great little commentary says concerning this verse, they that forsake the law, that means, quote, they cast God's law behind them. They throw it away. So a wicked ruler is known by casting God's law away. And in doing so, a wicked ruler, or a wicked person in general, is totally without a moral compass. When you throw away the Torah, the moral law, how then do you measure what is right and wrong? How do you measure what is good or evil? If you do not have God's law, the Torah, which is the only objective standard, which is both logical and cannot be objected to, because no rational person can say it's logical to want to steal, it's logical to want to murder, it's logical to want to covet. It doesn't make any sense. God's law is totally logical. But when you cast the Torah away, how do you measure right and wrong? Where is the moral compass? There is none. Charles Bridges says, when you cast the Torah away, Charles Bridges says, then each, meaning each person, each countenances his brother in sin. Each makes the other person's conduct the standard of his actions. End of quote. So, in other words, morality becomes subjective. What's everyone else? Well, he's unfaithful to his wife, and so are millions of others, so that becomes the standard, you see. There's nothing wrong with it. Everybody's doing it. In other words, the majority of people's conduct equals good when you don't have God's law. So when you cast God's law behind you as an evil ruler or government do, they forsake the law. When you cast it away, then what the majority of people do becomes your law and your standard of morality. And the standard of behavior as well. Majority behavior then becomes what is right. And that's where we are in our society, isn't it? You see it plainly in our society. Do you remember the days? I do, because I was born in 1969 and during the 70s, even in the 80s. You remember the days when divorce was quite rare, don't you? Is it now? You remember the days when adultery was a criminal offense? It was against the law of the country. You remember the days when sodomy was against the law? Our nation used to have laws based upon the law of God. But now it has all changed. God's law hasn't changed, but our society has changed. Now people want to do different. They wanted divorce, so divorce has become common. And they wanted to commit adultery and fornication, so it's now not against the law of our country. They deify sodomy because their moral compass is not based upon God's law, but on majority behavior and opinion. Because wicked rulers have thrown God's law away. They've forsaken the law. The political clowns that rule over our nation have changed the law of the land to suit sinners because they want the votes of sinners. Divorce is now common. Adultery is the norm and even by many counted as a good thing. And sodomy is deified. You're not even allowed to speak against it. Oh yes, our government dropped the blasphemy law against God in the 1990s. So you're allowed to blaspheme God, but don't you dare blaspheme sodomy, or you'll end up in court. They have deified perversion because they've cast the law of God behind them. The wicked forsake the Torah. And each makes the other person's conduct their standard of action. And those men in Westminster cannot even see the blatantly obvious. When you cast the law of God behind you, as an evil ruler does, that leads to legislation of all wickedness. And it's not stopped now. We have seen legislation brought in and in, and it's getting worse. But when you don't have the moral compass of the Torah, it will go on. Now, the next thing will be, which we have in certain parts of England already, polygamy. More than one wife. We already have that in London. Muslims are allowed more than one wife. And they will legislate in the future, because it's stage by stage, it goes down and down. They've cast away the Torah, they will legislate, and rape will be justified, and paedophilia will be justified, and hard drugs will be justified. Wait and see. It will all eventually be legalized because people want it. And what people want is right when you don't have the Torah guiding you. History shows this repeatedly in different civilizations. This is not the first time that sodomy has been deified. Look at the Greek culture. It's that weakened it and destroyed it. Romans and so on. We're not going into history, but it will even come to the time when it's legal to murder a Christian, won't it? John chapter 16, verse 2. Those that kill you will think they are doing God a favor. That's what Jesus said. This has all happened many times before, and it will happen again. We see in our leaders, the leaders of our nation, that they are forsaking the law of God. Everyone, the wicked, it says in Proverbs, the wicked, they that forsake the law, they praise the wicked. Haven't they forsaken God's law? Have our leaders forsaken the law of God? And proving that they're bad leaders. Did I miss a verse I was meant to read? Yeah, I was meant to read verse 9 of Proverbs 28 as well. I thought I'd missed it. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. But anyway, our government in Stormont and in Westminster, they have forsaken God's law. Here's the proof. What's commandment number one? No other gods before me, says the Lord. What does our government say? Nope, all religions are the same. Second commandment, thou shalt not commit, or thou shalt not bow down to idols, idolatry. Not only is idolatry allowed, it's promoted, and educated and rich people bow down to idols in our nation. Commandment number three, the blasphemy law. Do not blaspheme God's name. Don't take his name in vain. Well, our government changed that, as I've already mentioned, in the 1990s. You can blaspheme God all you want, but you can't blaspheme sodomy. So they've broken the first three commandments. The fourth commandment, has our government legislated against that? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Our government say, no, we're going to open the shops. We're going to change the law in that whole area. Why are they doing all these things? Because that's what people want. People want. You cast the law behind you, God's law. You just do what people want. Professed Christians even agree with that now. They also break the Sabbath commandment. And they have sponsored everything on Sunday. Sponsored runs, sponsored cycle runs, sponsored motorbike runs, all of it. And as long as you're doing it for a good cause, some Christians say, oh, it's all right. Our government has legislated against the first four commandments. The fifth commandment is honor your father and your mother. Honor your parents. Now, our government is trying to force parents' rights out. Isn't that right? They are. Discipline, education, morality. The things that go on in schools without parental consent. It's actually happening now in the United Kingdom that if a child in secondary school thinks, say it's a boy, and he thinks that he might be a girl, they will actually begin the treatment on that child without the parents even knowing. So the fifth commandment of honouring parents is being legislated against by our government. The sixth commandment is thou shalt not murder. Our government says, no, we will murder babies in your millions, and it's legal. Every single commandment. We have forsaken God's law. Our government has forsaken God's law. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I don't even need to say anything about that. They've legislated against that. Thou shalt not steal. But, well, that's still actually the law. You're still not allowed to steal unless you're a politician, of course, with stealing through expenses and all that and getting full pay while everyone else's business is closed down. By the way, all the people that bring in these lockdowns and are in charge of it, the politicians and the police, they haven't missed one paycheck since the whole thing began. Unlike the people they're legislating to. Not one paycheck have they missed. So stealing is still against the law if you're an ordinary person, not if you're a politician. But if you phone the police and say, as our pastor did in Tandragee a month or two ago, there were two men in the backyard, in the farmyard outside his mother's house. His mother lives across the road. And there was a car scoping round, and David, the pastor, ran out, and his son phoned the police. The police came 2 hours later or something, and the people had disappeared. And the police said to the pastor, you shouldn't have called us. There was no crime committed. This is a civil matter. Two strange men in the backyard of an old woman's house in the middle of the country, and it was a civil matter. The police didn't even want to bother coming. Surely then when they turned up at the church 2 weeks ago, that was a civil matter too. Why did they even bother coming? Thou shalt not bear false witness is commandment number 9. Liars. Our politicians lie as easy as they can breathe. The Queen has told lies. The princes. The Queen has breached her coronation oath. Thou shalt not covet is commandment number 10. Covetousness is the very heartbeat of our society. Our leaders, our nation, have forsaken the Torah. And they praise the wicked, don't they? They that forsake the Torah praise the wicked. The law of God, what does it say? The wicked are to be punished. And that helps to stop wickedness in a nation. But our government says no. Our government says the wicked need educated for free. The wicked need help. The wicked are given help that they can continue in their wickedness. Free tinfoil for heroin users. £90 extra a week on your benefit if you're an alcoholic so you can buy drink. That was in 2004, £90 extra a week on top of your benefit. It's probably a lot more than that now. Our government is wicked. They have forsaken the law of God, and they praise the wicked. Some people might say, oh, but the Queen is a Christian. She prays. She goes to the Church of England and she prays, and Prince Charles goes to church. Mr. Cameron, our previous Prime Minister, went to church, and they pray. Well, very good for them. But you know what it says? He that turns away his ear from hearing God's law, even his prayer is an abomination. God detests their prayers. because they turn away from his law. Christians of this land, we need to stop and examine the situation and realize that our government, according to the Bible, our government is wicked. A wicked government is a government that forsakes God's law. Secondly, a wicked government is a government that oppresses the people. That's chapter 28, 15 and 16. As a roaring lion and a ranging bear, so is a wicked ruler over poor people. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor. But he that hates covetousness shall prolong his days. And chapter 29 of Proverbs in verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. The exposition and meaning of those verses, or those words, as a roaring lion. The Hebrew word means roar, scare or terrify. Because that's when a lion roars, it has a paralyzing effect on its prey. So a wicked government uses fear. As a wicked lion, a roaring lion, or a ranging bear. I mentioned the other week, that ranging means going to and fro, rushing about, frantic activity. A wicked government will use fear, frantic activity. And the word wicked, the Hebrew word, means hostile to good. So as a roaring lion and a ranging bear, so is a wicked ruler ruling over poor people. The Hebrew word means weak, poor in strength, weak people. So far, just from that one verse, we see that a wicked government, they oppress the people, but how do they oppress the people? Through fear, frantic activity, and bully tactics. They oppress the poor, the weak. Somebody who picks on someone's weak is a bully. So fear, frantic activity, and bully tactics are the tactics of a wicked government. And the prince, it goes on to say in the next verse, the prince that wanteth understanding, the Hebrew word means is void of or lacks understanding, is also a great, much abundant oppressor. And that Hebrew word means bleed, extortionate, extorting money, bleeding money from people. It's a word, actually, according to the Hebrew dictionary, that is used for that which is deceitfully gotten, deceitful gains. So a prince, a ruler that lacks understanding, abundantly extortionate bleeds finances from the people over which he rules. So a wicked ruler lacks discernment, is materialistic and stupid, and extorts money from people in any way that they can. A wicked government is like a roaring lion. They use fear upon people. They attempt to scare people. And they're like a ranging bear, frantic back and forth. Look at all the activity going on. Do this, then do the opposite, and do this. And they pick on the weak. They're bullies. They're bullies. A wicked ruler is abundant in their extraction, their bleeding of people, deceitfully getting goods or money from weaker people. That's what those two verses plainly say. In other words, the wicked ruler or government thinks of all sorts of exorbitant taxes and is very active in doing so to those that are poorer and weaker than he is. They are extortionate. They take money to feed their pompous, selfish lifestyle which they squander on the wicked. Need I say more about this nation in the last 30 years? That was Proverbs, but you can obviously see the application. Poll tax. Spare bedroom tax. Green tax. On every flight, green tax. Do you know that not one penny of green tax goes to green things? It's just another tax. Green tax. Rates. There's a tax for services that are becoming more rare. Standard tax on everything you earn. Sell your home. You have to pay tax on what you get, even though you paid tax on the money that you bought it with in the first place. But if you sell it, you have to pay the tax again. If you want to buy a house, you've got to pay tax. A ruler void of understanding is extortionate and getting ill-gotten gains off people. Save up lots of money. You want to use it, you'll pay tax. You pay VAT. Tax on everything we buy with our money. If you go to buy diesel, petrol, or oil, which is an essential thing, isn't it? Do you know how much fuel is per litre, really? 59.26 pence. That's how much 1 litre of diesel or unleaded petrol is. The same price. 59.26 pence. What do we pay? £1.15. That is almost 100% tax has been put on. You want to get married? You've got to buy a marriage license from the state. Tax. What's it got to do with the government whether or not you get married? It's not their ordinance, is it? Why should they be making money out of it? Road tax on your vehicle, which always goes to fix the roads, of course, doesn't it? Virtually none of it goes to fix the roads. The roads are absolutely horrendous. We're like a third world country and the roads out round Tandragee and Northern. That's ridiculous. An economist plainly says, if you add all the tax that you've paid, that a person pays in their lifetime, if you add it together, you're paying well over 60% tax. Well over, which is far worse, the economist says, than the tyrants of the Dark Ages. High tax then was 20%, or very rare, even 30%, but we are being taxed in all different ways, well over 60%. These are just facts. Now, we are to give Caesar what is Caesar's, but what is he due? Over 50%. Because that's what he's getting. The Bible plainly says that a wicked government is like a roaring lion and a raging bear, and a ruler that lacks understanding is an oppressor of those that are poor, and he bleeds money from people. The modern term came coined under Tony Blair, and stealth taxes. Even that, the word itself tells you it's deceitful. And that's what our government. They also oppress. You could go into another area, but if a wicked government oppresses the people over which they rule, you could look into the area of the oppression of people in the area of freedom of speech and the arrest of street preachers and so on. Our government has forsaken God's law. Our government is oppressing the people. And thirdly, our government, very briefly, listens to lies. Chapter 29 and verse 12. A ruler, if a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. That's what God says. If a ruler listens, the word listen means lends his ear, and it's a participle, is lending his ear actively. He's participating. If a ruler is listening to lies. What verse was? Oh yeah, 12. All his servants are wicked. They're all liars. He listens to liars, therefore all his servants are liars. They're wicked. Look at Britain. Look at Britain. The people of this nation would swallow any foolish lie that the government makes up. Anything. Don't even research it. The lie of evolution. No proof at all. Men's theories and speculation. The lie that sodomy is natural. If a ruler listens to lies, all his servants are wicked. How could sodomy be natural? The human race would be dead in one generation. How could that be natural? It's a lie. Sex education in schools. Another big lie. Do you remember when sex education was introduced into schools? Why? Why was it introduced? To cut the rate of teenage pregnancy. That was it. Has that worked? Teenage pregnancy is 100 times worse now. They still keep doing the same old thing that doesn't work. And the people still believe it because they believe lies. If a ruler listens to lies, all their servants are wicked. The lie of evolution, the lie of sodomy, the lie of sex education, the lie of let's give alcoholics more money for drink because that helps them. Let's give gamblers more money for their addiction because that helps them. Let's give drug addicts more drugs and help because it helps with their addiction. It's all total lies. It doesn't help at all. And atheistic psychology, that's another lie. Criminal behavior is a sickness. It needs to be treated, not punished. No, total lie. Go on, I won't. You already know all this. You just open your eyes, read a newspaper, watch the news, and you see that our rulers are liars and they listen to liars. They're utter fools with no discernment whatsoever. Wicked rulers, what are they? Those that forsake the Torah. Those that oppress the people. Those that listen to lies. Do the rulers in Stormont, do the rulers in Westminster forsake the law of God? Yes. Well, what are they? They are wicked according to God. Do our rulers oppress the people? Yes. Well, what are they according to the Lord God? They are therefore wicked. Do our rulers listen to lies? Yes. Well, what are they then according to God, in the eyes of God? They are wicked. We have looked at what a wicked ruler or a wicked government is. We have to ask the question, what are our rulers? And we know the answer. So therefore, we need to pray. Nothing. Nothing can save our nation from the judgment and the wrath of God but repentance from sin. Nothing. It happened under Jonah. That wicked nation, Nineveh. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown under the preacher. And they repented. But what was the message? The message was a message of judgment that had to be declared. It wasn't a message of love. To a wicked nation, the prophet must preach, you're going to be judged and destroyed by God. That's what leads to repentance, not a message of love. Judgment. So I ask, where are the preachers who will speak the true biblical message to our wicked government and our wicked rulers? Remember King Belshazzar, the grandson of King Nebuchadnezzar, the leader of the world's superpower? Belshazzar had in his treasure house in Babylon the cups from the temple in Jerusalem. The sacred sanctified cups that were sanctified by blood. Holy. Counted as holy by God. Separate from the ordinary. Consecrated to God's use. Now, God had ordained for the punishment of his own people that those holy vessels would be in the treasure house in Babylon. And that was okay. It was okay that this pagan ruler, Nebuchadnezzar, and his great grandson, Belshazzar, had his sanctified instruments in the treasure house in Babylon. But when the drunken Belshazzar brought those cups out to his party feast and desecrated that which is holy in the eyes of God, that was the last straw. It was okay having them, but desecrating them was the last straw. And the writing appeared on the wall that very night. Mene, mene, tekel upharsin. God hath numbered your kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And his kingdom and the world's superpower ended that very night. And Belshazzar was killed. Over. But when did this happen? It happened not when the wicked ruler had control over God's artifacts from the temple. He had that for years. 70 years. But it happened when the wicked ruler went a step further and desecrated that which God calls holy. That's when it happened. Now our government has poked its stinking nose into church affairs for decades. And it's poked its nose into marriage just recently. God's ordinance of marriage between one man and one woman, which, by the way, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 4, marriage is counted as sanctified or holy to God, a holy thing. But our government has went one step further and taken that which God has ordained as holy, marriage between one man and one woman, and desecrated that which God called holy. They've done what King Belshazzar did with the holy vestments in his treasure room from the temple. And to do that, to desecrate, not just to have or poke your nose in, to take what God has said is sanctified or holy and desecrate it, is to become Belshazzar. The British government have desecrated marriage, God's ordinance that he calls a holy union between one man and one woman. And I tell you this, brethren, and I believe this with all my heart on the basis of Scripture, the writing for our nation is on the wall. Meaning, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, You are weighed in the balance and found wanting. Peres. Your kingdom is divided and given to another. God has a lot to say in the Bible about rulers, good rulers and wicked ones. He sets up rulers. He brings them down. See God's hand in it. The message that this nation needs to hear is one message, and it is this. You have sinned against the Holy One, and you will not escape the judgment of his wrath unless you repent of your sins. God will not let it off. Our wicked nation will perish unless they repent for what they've done. So let us pray that there would be a Jonah raised up to preach the message of repentance in our land. God bless you. Thanks for your attention this morning. And I hope it's been helpful.